Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Classic and universal Olympic-style race is a metaphor used by the apostle in several portions of the New Testament. But no references are as graphic and as pointed as those in Hebrews chapter 12, with a company of angelic beings looking on us, the believers, who become the participants in this great race. We'll join the scenery on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, and here with us to get into this particularly memorable sharing from Hebrews is Gary Kaiser. Gary, as always, we appreciate your being here.
And as always, Matt, I'm really delighted to be with you to get into these messages.
Gary, why is this picture of an athletic competition such a good one to convey the thought that we're going to get into today?
I think the United States takes a lead in the world in terms of making sports the center of so many lives. So many people are fully wrapped up in watching the sports. And those who are doing it, that is the participants themselves, are really caught up in it. Their whole focus is directed. They have no other reason for being. I feel like this is really what was in the Apostle Paul's heart and mind. And I'd like to read you a little bit from 1 Corinthians 9:24.
Good.
Concerning his view of this race as a Christian, as a race course.
It's helpful.
Do you not know that those who run on a race course all run, but one receives the prize? Run in this way, that you may lay hold. And everyone who contends exercises self-control in all things. They then, that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run in this way, not as though without a clear aim. I box in this way, not as though beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest perhaps, having preached to others, I myself may be disapproved. Paul's view was everything in his being, every ounce of energy, every thought, every intent was focused.
Amen.
He was focused on running this race. He was focused on completing the race. This, I believe, is a huge factor for us today. I think that many believers today are too relaxed, too uninvolved in what it means to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel this message is really one that should cause our listeners to really pay attention, to really consider, what are you living for? What are you doing with your life? Are you just an observer, or have you really entered in and are participating in this life to bring in God's purpose?
Well, it's really an appropriate picture, Gary, and I think we have a very vivid presentation of it today in our life study. So let's go to Witness Lee with our first section.
Now, I tell you, we should have come to the most exciting message, because this message is presenting you two sides, two sceneries. One side, S-I-G-H-T, one view, one scenery of the law, the situation of the law, the environment of the law. The second view, side, scenery is the one of the grace, of the grace situation. In better terms, the first one is the site of the old covenant, and the second one is the scene of the new covenant. If you read these nine verses carefully, the items that belong to the old covenant are six. There are six. And the items that belong to the new covenant are eight. Look into all the six items of the old covenant. I just read to you the mountain, which might be touched, and which was set on fire. You like such a mountain? I like a mountain full of trees, with some living streams flowing through. I like that kind of mountain. I don't like a mountain set on fire. That will scare me to death. Paul was really smart. Hebrew brothers, do you like to go back to the old covenant? Don't you know there was a mountain set on fire? Would you go there? Get yourself burned. Then, number two, darkness. You have to realize what is pictured here all shows us the negative situation of the old covenant. Number three, according to my understanding, based upon the experience, darkness is something objective to us. Gloom is something subjective to us. This means with the situation of the law, with the scenery of the old covenant, the darkness there was not only objective to the people. Eventually, the darkness became a gloom to those people. Number four, prayer one, this means what? No direction, no peace. Number five, the sound of a trumpet. What it trumpets? It trumpets, don't come. Be careful. Warning. All the time warning. Don't do this. That's religion. You have to realize with all kinds of religion, don't are always more than does. Eventually, you could get a just terrifying voice. I could still recall very well. In that entity, I had never once come back home praising the Lord. This is the old covenant. This is religion. The fires burning the mountain, the darkness for us, when you approach it, you just get into the ghost. Whirlwind, warning, terrifying sermon.
Obviously, Witness Lee was excited to be delivering this word. He, in his words, was presenting the first of two sceneries, and this one is characterized by darkness and gloom. Gary, what on our part can spin us into this first dark scene?
Well, Matt, I think we could use a single word, religion. And when we use the term religion, there are many people who feel, what are you talking about? How can you say religion spins us into darkness? And when we're speaking about religion, we're not talking about our intimate relationship with a living Savior. We're talking about practicing various kinds of proper things, which in the end make us either proud that we accomplished them or depressed that we just couldn't make it. And usually it's depressed because it spins us into this darkness. We try our best to live a proper life. I think most Christians can identify with this very much, that we try our best to be a proper Christian, even a proper human being, but we find ourselves failing to accomplish what we really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that portion in Romans chapter 7 where Paul was very much experiencing this kind of frustration. He says that sin seized the opportunity through the commandment and deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good, but the effect of it brings in failure, brings in frustration, brings in gloom. The darkness and the gloom are around us every time we try to fulfill God's purpose without God. We're a wretched man. Who, Paul says, can deliver us from this body of death?
Amen. Gary, in his ministry of roughly 70 years, Witness Lee would frequently utilize this technique of first painting a very black and dark background so that the white that follows really jumps out at you. I really think that this is our case in today's message. Here's Witness Lee.
But now we come to another scenery. We come to the scene of the New Covenant. First of all, I have to tell you, if you read carefully, Paul did put the 8 items into 4 pairs. The first pair, Mount Zion. What do you have here? No fire. You have a city on the mount, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. The second pair, no darkness, no gloom, but myriads of angels, the universal gathering. The word used by the Apostle Paul for gathering, the universal gathering. This word in Greek in the ancient time was all the time used for the Olympic Games. Here, the Apostle Paul used that background to tell us in the universe a game is going on, and the watchers, the spectators, are the angels. And the angels in number a myriad, thousands of thousands angels. They are gathered together to see the game. What game is this? The game is the race mentioned in the same chapter. Let's run the race. We read the race. How about the angels? The angels are not qualified. They are only good to be the cheering spectators. Even the Lord Jesus in Luke 15 surely indicated this. He said, just one sinner repents and gets saved. My, the joy in the heavens. Who are joyful there in heaven? Angels. I do believe, while we are meeting here, I tell you, myriads of angels there.
Amen.
They are the cheering spectators.
Amen.
I tell you, brothers, we are playing the biggest game.
Amen.
Brothers, please tell me, what is the focal intention of God in this whole universe? I tell you, it's just to get a group of Jesus real seekers.
Amen.
When the angels would see this, I tell you, I do believe they will not be only rejoicing, I do believe they'll be dancing. not dancing in that sinful way, but dancing in a praising way.
Gary, the second scene, the one that we certainly all want to be a part of, is not a scene that we observe from a distance, even at a close distance. We really must become the participants in this all-important game of the ages. Gary, what's the significance of this heavenly competition?
I really feel like this is a delightful scene. I enjoyed very much considering the universal gathering of the angels. And what the scene is that these angels who are ministering spirits to the regenerated sons of God are now gathered at a festival to observe the running of this race, the believers running together. They're excited. They're watching this development where the creatures become co-heirs with Christ and are becoming a part of God's eternal purpose. This is an exciting thing. So in Luke, we're told that one sinner repenting causes a joy in the heavens, and that joy is these angels who are observing, seeing. When we are in a sports realm, observers in this sports realm, we become very excited and very enjoying for the moment that particular scene. And I appreciated this word that the significance in God's purpose is to get a group of real seekers, people who really care about the Lord and what He's doing on the earth today, who have given themselves to be fully absorbed into God's eternal purpose. They are putting aside everything else to run this race. These are human beings. These are created beings who were created for God's purpose. We have to realize we have been created with the intent that God would fill us and would bring us into another realm, into the realm of light and life. So you have this scenery here telling us what we've been brought into. Many dear believers today are without a clue as to this kind of enjoyment and this kind of purpose. So they're in that old thing of the darkness and the gloom and that whirlwind that spins them around and gives them no direction, gives them no hope. But here are a group of people who are looking at the prize, who are focused on the end, who are giving themselves to run this race with the absolute involvement of their being to enter into the prize, receive the prize of the New Jerusalem. What a glory, what a joy to be participants in this race. And when it's over, it's just begun. When we are observers, when it's over, it's over. But as participants, it is the joy of entering into the victory. It's the joy of receiving the prize.
Amen. Gary, in our final section today in the spoken message, Witness Lee left the content of two footnotes from the Recovery Version, the book of Hebrews, become the substance of his message. So allow me, if you would, to read these two footnotes and the verses that accompany them. And then I would like to just open it up to you for your comments. Gary, the note really refers to verse 22 in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and read that, but it includes references to the following couple of verses. So I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. Verse 22, "But you have come forward to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the universal gathering," verse 23, "and to the church of the firstborn, who have been enrolled in the heavens, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men who have been made perfect. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks something better than that of Abel. Note 22, 1. The things mentioned in verses 22 through 24 are heavenly and spiritual, in contrast to the earthly and physical things listed in verses 18 through 19. These things signify the side of grace, where both the firstborn and the spirits of righteous men are saved by grace. The people under the old covenant came to the side of the law, whereas we Christians, who are under the new covenant, come to the side of grace. In the scene of grace, there is the justifying God, the Savior, who is the mediator of His New Testament with His speaking blood, the ministering angels with the assembly, the church, of the saved ones, and the spirits of the justified saints. On the side of the law, the scene ends with a terrifying sound of a trumpet and the warning words. On the side of grace, the scene ends with a sympathizing mediator and a vindicating speaking. After seeing such a contrast, who would be so foolish as to leave the side of grace and turn to the side of the law? All eight items on the side of grace are not only heavenly and spiritual, but also eternal. Note 22:3 is dealing with the word or the phrase universal gathering. Here's the note, note 22:3, or a festal gathering. The Greek word means universal gathering, whole or full assembly, and is used to denote a group of people gathered to celebrate a public festival, such as the Olympic Games. The entire New Covenant age is a festival, and the myriads of angels who are the ministering spirits, rendering service to the heirs of salvation under the New Covenant, are a universal gathering, celebrating the marvelous festival of so great a salvation, the greatest and most exciting game in the universe.
Well, Matt, I would just say that this is exciting. This really is exciting scenery and a fact that we are participants in this universal gathering, not as the angels gather, but we are there participating in this actual running of this race. So we're here enjoying what is grace. Grace has come to us. We're not in that old law, in that old covenant, where we were subject to darkness and gloom and the whirlwind. We are here in this grace. Grace is coming to us day by day. We are those who have been chosen by God to enter into this new covenant, the universal gathering, the marvelous feast, the great salvation. Praise the Lord for this portion that has been given to us.
Gary, thanks for coming in today.
A joy, Matt.
This concludes our Life Study of Hebrews for today. Hope you'll join us again as we continue with our program. For Gary Kaiser, I'm Matt Miller.